Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout.
Hello and welcome to Write It Up, a podcast all about the ins, outs, and in-betweens of self-publishing. I am P.E. Craven, romantic fantasy author, but you can call me Paige, and I will be your host and guide through the self-publishing process. This is your one-stop shop for all the information you need to self-publish. We talk about editing, we talk about marketing, we talk about process, we talk about craft, basically everything. And this is season two. I'm so happy to be here, and I cannot wait to dive in to this new season of Write It Up. Welcome to the show. Okay, so a quick recap. This is season two. We took a long and unplanned for hiatus. Season one was going, and then I kind of just dropped out of the ether, and disappeared for a while. Part of that is because I got a new job. Things changed. Last season, you may have heard that I was working for myself. And then I had a new opportunity pop up, and ended up pursuing that. So I'm no longer self-employed. And for me, that's, you know, not a bad thing. The way it ended up was really good. So I'm really excited for this new path that I'm on. Things are going really well. So I'm real excited. I'm also really excited to be back on the podcast. So if you are listening, you can also find this on YouTube. If you're on YouTube right now, you can also find this on all of the podcast channels in case you prefer to listen instead. Either way, I'm so happy that you're here and excited to catch up with you all. I have a few things that are coming up, a little recap, a little catch up. If you will. So some of the stuff that's happening soon, for one, I have my next book coming out. It is called Oak. It's book one of the Tree King series. It's very based in Celtic mythology. So if that's your jam, then please go look it up. Pre-orders are open. You can find that on my website. Ebook pre-orders are also open on Amazon. And we should, at this point, I'm recording this early, but we should have our physical copies up for pre-order as well. So if you're interested in that, please come on in, pre-order the book. And then once it's released, please also drop a review or a reading, because authors live off of that. Oak is published on September 16th, so right around the corner, which I'm so stoked about. And then also coming up, I will be attending Villains and Vixens in September as an author. And as part of that, I get to moderate a panel. So this will be my first time moderating a panel, and I can't wait. It's called Barely Breathing, and it's about mental health representation in fantasy books. So stoked about that. And then in October, I'll be at Book Harvest in Chicago. Both of those events, at the time of this recording, they still have some tickets open. I'm not sure if at this time we'll be sold out or not. I know at this point in July, which is when I'm recording this episode, they are getting close to selling out at Villains and Vixens. So early August, there's a chance it could be sold out. If not, go check them out. See if you can snag your tickets. And then for Book Harvest, I know that they also have some open. Both events are going to be awesome. I can't wait. So excited. So those are the big event sets going on. I've got a book coming out. I've got two big events happening. And then also, I have another work in progress that I'm tinkering away at that when it's ready, I'm just going to drop it. So it'll be a surprise to everybody when it comes out. It's a little novella. There's this new novella series I'm working on. It's a paranormal college romance series, but it features the staff of a magic university. So rather than the college romance being the students featured, it's the adults. It's the teachers and the staff and the people that make the university run that it follows. And book one is the first draft is pretty much done, minus the epilogue. I'm going through and doing my next round of edits. It's a novella, so it's not quite as extensive as some of my other works, but it's really fun. I'm really excited. So when that comes out, it'll just come out. And then another project that I'm working on is Fire Spy. So that's book three of the Realm Leaper series. That book is going to be a pretty big undertaking. There are four parts to the story, and I've been working on fleshing out some of the world building. That book actually will have an additional world. So in the series, there's already two worlds, and then I'll have a third world that our cast of characters get to go explore. And so I'm really excited about that. That world is kind of based off of mythology through like Central and Northern South America. So not like the whole continent of South America, but like Northern Brazil into like Guatemala, really southern parts of Mexico. So like that region. The mythology background for the other two worlds in the Realm Leaper series, it's very regional. So it's a lot of mythology from different areas that are kind of blended. And so this world will follow that same pattern. And I've really loved learning about new mythology, getting into some new folklore. I have a friend. She's actually the mother of my daughter's best friend, who's been sharing some folklore from her home country of Venezuela. And just that's been super fun to have somebody that can share firsthand experience. So I'm real stoked about it. But it, you know, it's a whole process. Writing fantasy takes time. You got to give it some time to simmer. So that's kind of the what's going on with me. The podcast is coming back. I have been batch recording because my new job is back in education. So if you were with me in season one, you know that I left education. I was going to pursue some other things. And just by happenstance, ended up back in education. So it's really fun. I'm really happy. I love this new position. Did not see it coming. I really thought when I was done in May, last May, I thought I was done, like, for good. So part of that means that I don't really have the freedom to record during the week, during the school year anymore. So, you know, podcasting is going to be in the summertime and then released throughout the year. So, you know, the seasons moving forward are going to be a little different than how I originally planned to schedule them and to manage the podcast. But, you know, that's just how life goes. So, anyways, so today's episode is called Run Your Own Race. Run Your Own Race. Today's episode is called Run Your Own Race. And it's actually really funny that I already recorded this episode once, went back and decided it really didn't fit what I was going for this season. So I deleted it. Sight unseen. I just know what I recorded was not really the message that I wanted to send. And really not how I wanted to open up season two. So I just got rid of it and I'm redoing it. And so I'm excited about the way that this is going to go. I'm also really excited about how season two is going to unfold. So we have a ton of guests that will be on the show for my plan is to introduce them once a month. So once a month you'll get a special guest. These are self-published authors. We have an editor, we have a cosplayer. So all of this is going to be little glimpses of ways that you can make this process successful for you. And I really wanted to emphasize that by kind of recapping the things that I've learned over the last 4 years in self-publishing. Because at this point, I'm in year four of being a self-published author. And that's not a self-published, actually published author, but going through the process, starting with the editor, and just the whole process, from writing, because the writing process is obviously a super important part of the publishing process, but it's not, I would say that is a part that is separate from the publishing journey, because writing the book is just creating the product. Publishing is getting your product out to the masses. That's a whole separate process. Writing is important, but the publishing, that's a different process than the writing and the crafting. So throughout season two, we will have some focus on craft, but a lot of it's also going to be the process of just publishing. So anyways, that was kind of a side tangent. Today is really going to be focused on five things that I've learned in the last 4 years. And, hopefully you get a little inspiration out of it. Or hopefully you can also learn from some of the mistakes that I've made and it'll help inspire you to keep going. Yeah. So, all right, so I'm going to go backwards. I have a number one, my number one thing that I've learned. But I'm going to start with number five and count backwards. So number five, the thing that I've learned in this whole process is you don't have to do any of this. What does that mean? You don't have to do any of this. So number one, for me, it was a huge moment of a relief when I realized I don't have to do any of this. I don't have to write. I have a different career. I have different things that I'm passionate about. I don't have to market. I don't, all of this is optional. Now, if I want to become a very successful author, obviously there are going to be some things that I have to do. But I have other options. I'm not relying on this right now. And I would say most self-published authors are in a very similar boat. But if we break that down even more, there are so many things that other authors are going to say are mandatory. You have to do it this way that really aren't, okay? A cover designer. You don't have to hire that out. You can use Canva. Is it going to be the most excellent cover ever? Maybe. I don't know your skills. But also, probably not. You know, somebody with a graphic design background, somebody with an art, physical or visual art background, their products might be better than yours. But that doesn't mean it's necessary. There are other options. This is not an excuse to use generative AI. I just want to disclaimer that. Generative AI, as a reminder, steals work from other artists and writers. So, do I recommend going that pathway for your cover book or book covers? No. But there are some other options. You can also buy a pre-made cover. Those are usually very cheap. I've seen them as cheap as $25 to, $200. I have seen cover designers who offer their service for as cheap as $50 because they know some authors don't have that kind of capital, that kind of money to invest in. Character art. You don't have to buy the character art. That's optional. An editor. You don't have to have an editor. Your product is always going to be better if you've hired an editor. But you don't have to. That's optional. I don't have to have a social media presence all the time. I don't even have to have a social media presence at all. Am I going to have a better audience if I do use social media? Probably. But I don't have to do it. I'm not tied down to any part of the process. And for me, that gives me a little bit of room to breathe and be creative. It takes some of the pressure away, which makes it more accessible for me. I really needed that moment of clarity that none of this is a requirement in order to keep the process, keep the experience of self-publishing something that was enjoyable and sustainable for me. So that's number five. You don't have to do any of this. The number four thing that I learned. Do-overs are allowed. There are plenty of authors who will pull their book, rewrite it, and re-release it. Second editions exist for a reason. Just because you have one cover design doesn't mean that that has to be the cover design for always. If you notice, one of the things I love about self-publishing the best or the most is that I can go back and tweak my manuscript if I find a typo or if I find something that's wrong. I have the power to go back and fix what I don't like. And the things that I love right now could be different from later. And I'm allowed to go back and do it over again. I don't have to be committed to one thing forever. Number four, do-overs are allowed. Number three, the third thing that I have learned. Oof, this one's hard for me. If you're using social media for advertising and as a public figure, you need to keep it that way. I am in the process of cleaning up my social media because I have been using my author social media handle as my personal social media, mainly for scrolling, like doom scrolling, which has effed my algorithm up. Oh, it's so bad. I also followed a ton of content creators that are not aligned with my niche. And I don't think you have to be super niched down for social media to be effective, but it does need to have some sort of clear consensus. So I'm paying the price for that right now. I am definitely having to go back and clean up my social media, go back to using my personal handle for personal things. That doesn't mean that I can't speak my truth on social media. You know, I personally don't keep my personal views out of my social media. I don't think I ever could. That's just a personal thing. But, you know, like having 10 different content creators that are like cat video content creators is really not helping my algorithm. And it's also jacking up my advertising. So, you know, any money that I spend on advertising isn't necessarily going to the people I want it to go to. So if you have social media, if you're using it for advertising purposes, really, really knuckle down. Make sure that you don't get stuck in that loop where you're using it in a way that's not going to help you target your audience. So that's kind of a hard one for me because it's definitely now I'm breaking some habits that like weren't super helpful. You know, so that's the thing that's like kind of occupying my time right now. Yeah. So if you're using social media for business purposes, keep that social media business purposed. Womp womp. Okay. So number two, this is one of my favorite lessons that I've learned so far. It is possible to fail upwards. Meaning, so first off, I think failure, we all need to take the medicine and understand that failure is not like this dooming, like, you know, tsunami that is just catastrophic. Just because you fail once or twice or like 10 times doesn't mean that it's awful. And I think we talked about this before. Failure is not a sign that you're not doing the right thing. It just means that there's an opportunity to learn. So I really got this lesson at my at RomanticyCon in 2024. It was my first big event. I've done some small events before that that really did not prepare me for like such a large scale event. And basically what ended up happening is I failed in like every capacity getting ready for this event. I was having to make a manuscript for my special editions that was way different than what I was used to. And it took me so much more time than I had budgeted for myself. Things kept going wrong with it. The end result, we also had like a catastrophic weather event that like pushed everything back as well in production. And so what ended up happening is I got to the event without my product. I had hardly any of my product. I was able to get some of it overnight shipped to me. So I had some. And I sold out of what I had. I didn't have enough product while I was there. But I did have some. Now, what ended up happening is all of the physical product that I had, I sold out of. And then I took special orders, which I then had to, you know, sit back and send out later. Looking back on it, I really didn't price things at like a great price point. So financially, the event was a loss. But it was a win in the fact that I was able to acknowledge like what parts of my stories are marketable. I widened my audience. I sold everything that I had. And that in itself was a win. I also really figured out some things that I am going to do moving forward. It really taught me a lot about what readers want at book conventions. I am not a convention person. I didn't grow up going to conventions. I didn't really go to special events at all growing up. I don't really have the time to go as a guest right now. Maybe one day I'll have an opportunity to go as a reader. So Comic-Con is not something I did. So I was kind of unprepared for that event. But being there and having the time to just watch and absorb everything helped me moving forward. So, you know, I have these large events coming up this year. I'm way more prepared, but also I know how to price things and have people interested in them. So, you know, was it a little bit stressful? Yes. Did I blow it out of the water? No. Was it still a win? Yes. Yes. Despite not having physical products, I still sold a ton of stuff that I then had to go back and ship myself. But still, it was that to me was one of the moments that I realized, like, there's not a lot that I can do to, like, really, really F things up. So I'm censoring a little bit. I don't know. Do you guys want me to use explicit language? If y'all can DM me on Instagram, let me know, because I'm censoring myself a little bit right now. Let me know what you think about that. Sorry, that was a side note. Okay, so it's possible to fail upward. The number one thing I have learned as a self-published author is to run your own race. And there's a long story behind this. So last year in 2024, it kind of sucked for me. A lot of things happened. I was coming to the tail end of a teaching gig that just wasn't aligning with my values anymore. You know, there was a lot that was going on. It wasn't fulfilling me. It was really stressful. I was emotionally depleted. Like, I had no emotion left to spare, which was, like, not great as a mom. But the other thing that was happening is that emotional, like, drainage, that just being completely emotionally tapped out, I could not write. And I think a lot of authors will relate to that. Like, when you are just drained, creating anything is so hard. Like, how can you create emotional depth in your characters if you have no emotions to spare yourself? So that's kind of where I was. Ended up deciding I was going to be self-employed, launched a small business, self-employed business. I had two contracts that were signed that literally quit my job, was going into this. I had two contracts that really were supposed to be enough to sustain me as, like, a part-time employee, basically. And then I would fill it in with short-term contracts. That was the plan, at least. And then got ghosted by both of those contracts. So anyways, you know, there's just, like, a lot of stuff that was going on that really was giving me major feelings of fear and feeling like I was not succeeding and just, like, not feeling good about myself or this journey or anything. And I honestly, like, didn't want to write. And so even though I had planned on publishing a new story in 2024, that obviously didn't happen. So I made it through the year, got this new surprise job, and, you know, the whole time, the other thing that was happening is I was seeing some other authors who were taking off as, you know, self-published authors. And there was, like, this feeling of jealousy. That's real. Like, that's not an abnormal thing to feel. It wasn't jealousy so much as, like, just, you know, the desire to experience the same amount of success as they were experiencing. Now, here's where that's wrong. What I was not doing is I was not accounting for what my journey looks like compared to what their journey looks like. And here's what I mean by that. One, I was not accounting for how long they had been on their journey. Some of those authors had been writing and self-publishing for almost 10 years. Some of those authors had been writing stories and manuscripts for about 10 years and were releasing them back to back because they had the backlog. I don't have that kind of backlog. A lot of those authors have personal assistants. They have people on their team who are making social media content for them, who are answering emails for them, who are managing a website for them. I don't have that. I'm doing all of it by myself. The other thing, I work full-time. I have two kids. And to top it all off, on top of all of that other stuff, I also have a chronic illness. And it's like not a serious chronic illness, but it's enough to make it so sometimes I'm slower, right? Not every project is able to happen on time. Sometimes I have to take a period of rest in order to do anything. That is my journey. That's my race, so to speak. And so I had this moment of clarity in like July, or no, not July, in like January. So right around Christmas time, I took some time off from social media, did some reflecting, really thought about like, you know, what I was doing, where I was going, what my author journey was going to look like. And I realized like, I'm not really doing anything wrong. Sure, to be successful, like you would release one book a year. But then you have other successful authors like Diana Gabaldon. She's a traditionally published author. She wrote the Outlander series. She got like 10 years sometimes between books. Part of that is she's traditionally published and her books have been massively well received and enjoyed. So she has the luxury of doing that, but also because that's what her process is. That's her process. My process is going to look different from everybody else's process. I cannot compare myself to other authors and still be able to create the stories that are important to me. That's really what it came down to. So when I took it all into account, when I, you know, named the things that are obstacles for me or that are specific to my journey, I realized that I was doing myself a huge disservice by comparing myself to these other authors. And right around the same time, so this happened, and then like 2 days later, I sat down and watched Bluey with my daughter, like of all things. Actually, I shouldn't be that surprised. Like Bluey is such a philosophical and like an emotionally intelligent cartoon. Like, yeah, watch the show because as an adult, you can learn so much. But I watched this episode called The Baby Race, and it really was about Chili, who was the mom character, who was comparing herself to other mothers. And she was really beating herself up and realizing like, you know, like, oh, like these other moms, they're succeeding in this way. Their babies are succeeding in this way. I'm not able to, you know, have these same successes. She felt horrible about it. And it was really changing her experience as a mom, especially as a first-time mom. And she realized that she was keeping herself from joy and keeping herself from the type of success that she wanted by comparing herself to other moms and comparing her baby to other babies. And what she really came away with is that in order to do well, she has to focus on her own race. Like if it's a marathon, you cannot sit there and watch everybody else's pace because you're going to ruin your own pace if you do that. And so that was the lesson of the stories. Run your own race. Pay attention to your own journey and you're going to be more successful. You're going to have more joy in it. It's going to be the journey that you need. And so it couldn't have come at a better time. And I really left 2024 feeling so encouraged moving forward and realizing that my perspective needed to shift in order for me to continue creating content. And that's like all the content. Podcasting. Okay, it's got to happen in the summer. A bulk of my writing and editing is going to happen in the summer. There's going to be stuff that happens throughout the year, but I'm going to have to be flexible. It depends on how my body's feeling. It depends on how work is going. It depends on how my kids are doing. It depends on how my husband's doing. You know, all of that is going to come in and affect my productivity. And that's not abnormal. That's like a perfectly normal thing. So leading from that, I was able to go in, finished a bunch of writing. I started 2 new projects. Just feeling really good about the process and not feeling like I had to finish things at a certain time. And so far, it's been working out really great for me. So that's like the number one thing that I've learned. There's, you know, sure, some people are going to disagree. Like, oh no, you have to publish once a year at least in order to keep it up. But like, okay, says who? What kind of success are you talking about? To me, just publishing and having people read my books, that is success. That's the success I want. I want to feel fulfilled in storytelling. And so as long as I'm doing that, as long as I'm writing stories, I am being successful. So those are my 5 top takeaways from 4 years of self-publishing. Hopefully you got a little bit of enjoyment from that, a little bit of inspiration. You can take it as a little pep talk. And you know, just keep going. Run your own race, man. Focus on your own journey and figure out what is important to you. And remember, you don't have to do any of this. This is optional. So welcome to season 2. I'm so thrilled to be kicking this off. I can't wait for you to hear all of the awesome, awesome, awesome special guests that we have. It's going to be really special. So the plan, again, I'm recording this early, so the plan could change. But the plan is to release 2 episodes a month. So you should be getting something new very soon. That's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. I know I rambled a little bit, but you know, that's what a podcast is. It's just yapping. And as a reminder, you can make sure you follow me on YouTube for video content, or you can follow me on any sort of podcasting device application that you prefer. And welcome to season 2. Next week, we will be having Josie Carnes join us. She's an independent author. She's so awesome. She runs Indie Author Central. Such a good platform for self-published authors. So if that is something that interests you, make sure you subscribe, make sure you follow, and I will see you next time. Bye, everybody.